The first reading is from Acts chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who are in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful people and kindle them in the fire of your love. Hallelujah. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asked me, "Where are you going?" But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said, he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your people and kindle in us the fire of your love. In Jesus' name. Amen. Piglet, said Pooh. Yes, Pooh, said Piglet. Do you ever have days when everything feels not very okay at all? And sometimes you don't even know why you feel not very okay at all. You just know that you do. Piglet nodded his head sagely. Oh yes, said Piglet. I definitely have those days. I've had a few days this week when I have felt not very okay at all. Various things, the busyness of life, the pressures that mount up, allowing that to crowd out my devotional life, my prayer life, finding it difficult to deal with challenging behaviour from a member of my household who's increasingly anxious about changing schools this summer, and so his behaviour is going haywire. As a vicar, feeling anxious and vulnerable in my role in this parish. Feeling the need to take a lead in helping us to face the challenges that we face as a parish and a church. Observing how, as a church here, we're getting older and smaller, far less able to play a positive role in our community. At one point, I took some comfort from the fact that actually other churches are struggling too. In fact, someone said that to me when I was talking to them. Oh, it's not just you. Lots of churches, most churches, are declining. Oh, that's all right then, isn't it? And then I've been, as I always do, listening to the news, reading the newspapers, observing what's going on. Some joyful things happening, like a wedding yesterday, an FA Cup final, all the rest of it. But actually, listening to the wider news about our nation, about our society, about our world, I found myself feeling not very okay at all. The state of a nation having largely turned away from God. We're seeing increasing signs of dis-ease. If we look at what's happening in our communities and our nation and our world, things are not very okay at all. I was quoting from Winnie the Pooh this morning because that passage has been going around on Facebook as part of Mental Health Awareness Week. Mental health, of course, is very complex. And the complexity of the stresses of life can lead us to be very vulnerable as people and to suffer from various stresses and mental health issues, perhaps through genetics, perhaps through circumstances, all sorts of things. It's very complex. And all of us need to find a place of love and acceptance and help and support when we feel or face some of those things. But I'm sure it's no coincidence that as our society moves away from shared Christian values in pursuit of individual success and prosperity, more and more people are suffering from mental ill health. Because without God, life becomes meaningless. And I might add, in my wrestlings about church life, without God, the church becomes meaningless. Today we celebrate Pentecost, often referred to as the birth of the church. And in our sermon series, we're thinking today about the Spirit in the church. The context, the risen Jesus, before he ascended, ordered his disciples to wait. You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now, he says. And as he was about to ascend, in his very final words to his disciples, he says this: you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. And so we see that Pentecost is about God's people being empowered to take up God's mission. To take up God's mission where Jesus left off. To assume the authority given by Christ himself to go and make disciples of all nations. To know and to carry Christ's presence always to the end of the age. The foremost task of the church, as we know, is to know and to worship God. We can only do this by the power of the Spirit. The scriptures say those who worship must worship in spirit and in truth. The scriptures also tell us, and we know, that it's only by the Spirit that our hearts can cry out, Abba, Father. The foremost task of the church is to know and to worship God. The second task of the church is to carry his presence in the world, to witness to Jesus Christ. Not an easy task, in fact, a very, very difficult task. And so, like the disciples, the church, we need to receive power from on high in order to be his witnesses in the world. So 2 points here. Firstly, we notice on that day of Pentecost that the Spirit was poured out in order to empower the believers to be Christ's witnesses. It's not a bless-up. It's not a private blessing for Jesus' friends. The Spirit is poured out in order to enable the believers to be Christ's witnesses, in order to empower the church for the work of proclamation and evangelism, to spread the good news, to continue Christ's proclamation of the kingdom. And so we see that as soon as on that day of Pentecost the disciples received the Spirit's power from on high, they began to speak in tongues. They began to speak in many different languages, because Jerusalem was filled with people from all around the world. And their speaking in tongues drew a crowd. And the crowds, because they drew and heard these languages being spoken, heard the good news in their own language. And because of the presence of the Spirit and the power of the Spirit empowering, Peter had the opportunity to preach salvation. So that all those people in Jerusalem on that day heard that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Life doesn't need to be meaningless. David Watson, in his book that we're following at the moment, challenges us to think about this. He says, the church that is spiritually alive must be profoundly concerned with the work of communicating Christ. And he says that the Spirit of the eternal God, whose primary concern is that God's people should get on... The Spirit of the eternal God's primary concern is that his people should get on with the task of mission. I suppose I find myself asking whether my primary concern is to communicate Christ. And I throw that challenge out to you too. Is our primary concern as a church to communicate Christ? Or is it something different? Secondly, we note that the Spirit wasn't just given to one or two individuals, as had been in Old Testament days. It was poured out on the whole gathering of believers. It's not about the called few. It's not about certain select individuals to carry out God's purpose and God's work at work in the world. It's not about us as individuals doing that. But rather, the Spirit was poured out upon all flesh, on all of us. And so we see here also an important feature of the day of Pentecost. They gathered together and they waited together with one another as sisters and brothers in Christ, as one body, as the body of Christ on earth. And as we read Acts, we see how they went about proclaiming the good news. They formed communities of faith, what we've come to know as churches, where the members are described as being devoted to, and you'll know the phrase because we've said it so much this year, devoted to one another. And not just devoted to one another, devoted to the apostles' preaching, devoted to fellowship with one another, devoted to regular breaking of bread, devoted to prayer. Challenge to us, the challenge to me is, am I? Can my life be described as being devoted to these things? Can your life be described as being devoted to these things? To preaching, to fellowship, to prayer, to brothers and sisters in Christ. Without the Spirit, the church ceases to be empowered. And if we cease to be empowered, we may be an institution, we may be an organisation, we may have a building, we may put on services, we may engage in social action. But without the Spirit, there's no church of the living God. And so we might ask ourselves, if the Holy Spirit left our church, would we notice? Would it make any difference? Or would church life carry on pretty much unchanged? David Watson in his book reminds us that the Spirit is the author and giver of life, and that the church is dependent on the Spirit for the whole of her life. Created by the Spirit in the first place, the church must be continuously sustained and renewed by the Spirit. He says we're dependent upon a ceaseless and fresh impartation of life from God. And he goes on, without the Spirit, all our activities are empty and meaningless. He also goes on to say, and I love this because it encourages me, it's not so much that we need more of it, the Spirit, as though somehow we can possess the Holy Spirit. Rather, it's more about desiring that he should have more of us. Not that we should have more of it, the Spirit, but rather that he should have more of us. So that he can affirm us, so that he can heal us, so he can teach us, so he can guide us. So he can empower us, so he can equip us, so he can lead us into all truth. So that he can help us to live wisely and well. So that our lives can be for a purpose and to contribute something worthwhile. So that we can know fullness of life, abundant life. The danger facing all churches like us is that we start off with the inspiration of the Spirit, but then we carry on doing what we always do, regardless of where the Spirit is leading. And actually at every stage, we need to learn how to hear and listen to what the Spirit is saying. So, what of my few days this week of feeling not very okay at all? Well, at one level, that's just part of the human condition, isn't it? We all have days when we feel not very okay at all. At least I assume we do. Do we all have days when we feel not very okay at all? There's a few nods there. That's normal and that's okay. It's part of the human condition. But it's also served to remind me that by myself, I am weak and vulnerable. I can't carry or solve the problems of the church on my own. I can't carry the problems of the world on my shoulders on my own. Rather, I need to let the Spirit have more of me so that he can affirm me, so that he can heal me, so that he can teach me and guide me and empower me and equip me and lead me into all truth. And not me on my own, but I need to experience that as part of a loving church family, as part of community. I need other people as well. And these few days of not feeling very okay at all have also refocused me on the primary importance and the urgency of us as a church receiving the Spirit's empowering to witness to him in the world. Because unless we are engaged in God's mission to love and save the world, unless we are in tune with the Spirit and where the Spirit is leading us, not yesterday but today, then our church life is meaningless. My feeling is that things are still not very okay at all. But it's my renewed conviction that if there is to be any hope, if there is to be any hope for the world, for our nations, for our communities, for our mental health, for our emotional well-being, for our societies, for our relationships, if there is to be any hope, then we need a revived and a renewed church. A church empowered to proclaim afresh in this generation the good news. Because without God, life becomes meaningless. And in a society that turns its back on God, more people, more of the time, will feel not very okay at all. And so on this day of Pentecost, let us in our weakness offer ourselves afresh to let the Spirit have more of us, that we may be empowered and equipped to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, Amen.